Ujjwala Nilamani. This is finishing verse 8 of chapter 1, describing Krishna as the romantic superhero, transcendental hero. And we heard five qualities of Krishna's transcendental physical body or form. And then we heard 14 qualities of his mentality and his intelligence. He's Sudhi and Sapratibho and Dhiro, different qualities, psychic qualities. He's clever, he's happy, he's artistic. And he's the best of all these things. And then finally, the second half of verse 8, text 8, says, Atulya Keli Sondarya Preshta Vamshi Sanankita. Atulya Keli Sondarya Preshta Vamshi Sanankita. So here, Rupa Goswami is a great devotee and a great poet and extremely creative. And in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, here in this part, he listed five physical qualities of Krishna: his body, his voice, his qualities, age, speech, and marks, auspicious signs and marks on his body. And then he mentioned 14 mental qualities and human qualities. Of course, he's God, godly divine qualities, and his expertise, quick-witted, vidagda, and chatur. Not everyone may be a little intelligent, but not everyone's vidagda and chatur, clever and quick-witted. So Krishna's like this. And then now he finished the final, these 14 mental qualities, five physical qualities. Now Śrīla Goswami Pāda mentions four qualities in relationship with others. How Krishna, with all these qualities, psychic, mental, emotional, and physical, how he interacts with the Vrijavasis, especially the gopis, but everyone. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explained these same four attributes of Krishna in a very deep and philosophical way by explaining how these four attributes of Krishna distinguish him from any other controller, including Brahma or Shiva, who are living entities, jivas, and then even Narayan. Great exalted jivas like Brahma or Shiva, they can exhibit 55 of the qualities of Godhead to a limited extent, a limited degree, of the same qualities. Then Narayan has five more, that's 60. So Narayan, first we're talking about jiva tattva and the possible guna or qualities that one can display. Panchban gun, and that's only special, selected, extraordinary demigods, devatas. The ordinary human being, at best, the ordinary jivatma of the earthly plane, like you and me, can exhibit 50 qualities, which is 78%. Prabhupada writes in his Nectar Devotion book, 78% of the qualities of Krishna. And then that's 50, and very small quantity. And then there's the devatas, the Ishvaras, Agni, Indra, Shiva. They can display or exhibit 55 qualities, which is 78, and this is 84%. 84% of the qualities of Krishna. Then Vishnu, he has five more. He can create unlimited universes from his body and all these things. Enters everyone's heart as Paramatma. Shiva doesn't do that. Brahma doesn't do that. And so therefore, Lord Vishnu has 93 93, very good grade, 93, but not quite perfect. Now we come to Krishna, he has 100%, 100% Purna Bhagavatam, excuse me, Purna Bhagavan. Not only Purna, not only Purnatara, but Purnatam. Swayam Bhagavan, Purnatam Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai. So Krishna has 100% of all the possible qualities, and the four qualities that distinguish him from Narayan, he's by tattva, by existential truth, when identifying or defining God, the Supreme Being, the origin of everything, the control of everything, the enjoyer of everything, then you're talking about Vishnu Tattva. Narasimha is Vishnu Tattva, Ramchandra is Vishnu Tattva, Narayan is Vishnu Tattva, and Krishna is Vishnu Tattva. So they are one in truth or position or identity. However, that's called Tattva Vichar. But if we look at the Rasa Vichar, then Krishna stands alone as supreme. And then he has these four qualities which Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mentioned, and I think you've all heard. Jai Radhe. Arti Ki Jai. Jai Ho. Nitai Dham Ki Jai. So there, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna has Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, and Leela Madhurya. And he uses these terms also. And here again, that same Rupa Goswami in his graduate study, Ujjvala Nilamani, he's describing in this description of the hero, the qualities of the hero. He's beautiful, he's dashing, he's clever, he's intelligent, he's chatur, and supandita, and all amazing, astonishing qualities. And but Vishnu is like that. Vishnu is very artistic and clever and etc. But not these four. And what are they? He says in text 8, Atulya Keli Sondarya Prishta Vamshi Sonankita. This is another way, beautiful way in Sanskrit of saying Krishna is Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya and Rupa Madhurya. So it says, Atulya Keli. He performs unprecedented, sweet pastimes. Leela Madhurya. Atulya. No Tula. Tula is like, Libra. Tula. Libra. So that's balance. Atulya Keli. No one can compare. The sweetness of Krishna's pastimes with Radharani and the gopis. So that's his Leela Madhurya. And then his Sondarya Prashta. Sondarya. Krishna is beautiful, no doubt. Sham Sundar and Sundari Radha. A perfect ideal couple. The most beautiful person in creation and the most beautiful beloved in creation. Beyond creation, because they're nitya. Nothing's actually created except our karma, which were interesting creations we've all made. Now we're digesting in various ways, or being digested by it. So this is the Sundarya, the beauty, and then Prashta. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. This is a pranam prayer. Say, oh Prabhupada, you are Krishna Prashta. You are a Prashta. Prashta means chief, best, topmost. Prashta, Mukunda Prashta. When they describe the Lakshana of the Guru, they say he's Mukunda Prashta, Vishnu Prashta, Krishna Prashta. He's very, very dear to Krishna. Prashta is, Prashta comes from Priyaji, Radha. Means very excessively dear and so heartily close. That's Prashta. So it's a very rasic pranam prayer. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. Vishnupadaya means Krishnapadaya. Prabhupada's head is at the feet of Krishna, Vishnu. And not only is his head there, but his heart is also mixed in the heart of Krishna. So therefore he's attained the exalted privilege and position of being Krishna Prishta. Not everyone. This type of word is not used everywhere. So Prishta means the dearest devotees. So he's this term, this refers to Prema Madhurya, because Prema is the exchange with Krishna and his devotees. Leela, Prem Leela. Leela, many times we've told. Li means alingita, to embrace, and la means to accept. Leela, lo, lo, leela. So combining these two, Leela, then you get accept the embraces. So it's Prem Leela, so you accept the embraces of those who love you, like your mother and your Yashodama and Nanda Baba and Radharani and Gopis and Gwals and coward boys. So this is Leela, Prem Leela. So this word is mentions that. So there's Prishta means the devotees, and Krishna exchanges prem with the devotees and loving reciprocation, so that's called Leela Madhurya. Then finally, Vamshi. And this means, of course, Venu Madhurya. Vamshi is the generic term to any flute player. He's called Vamshidari. Vamshidari or Vansuli. Vansuli. Because Vans means flute. Bamboo. Means wood, lakri, bans. So banshi or bansuri, it's all that. But then when we get a little technical and look deeper into the pages of Rupa Goswami's unfolding of Krishna's character, then we see there's three types of flutes. So when Rupa Goswami categorizes the four distinctive qualities of Krishna, he says Venu Madhurya. But his Venu is very sweet, but not as sweet as his Vamshi. Vamshi is even more sweet. And what to speak of the Murli? The Murli is 1 meter long. They have to have a lot of pran to play that. 3 feet, you don't know the feet, but 1 meter. It's a long boy. And you have to play it so beautifully and perfectly that the sound carries. You can play flute, woof, woof. If you don't have any air or any power, or your stomach is bad or whatever. But if you want the sound to carry, if you want the sound of the flute to carry far and wide, this is a wind instrument. And if you have no wind because your body, life airs are upside down and all your wind is going that way, up on, downwards and out the back door, then you won't have any wind to go out the front door, which is prana. Inhale, exhale. So down, up, like this, pranapan. So therefore, flute players are very long-winded and strong-winded. So Krishna, when he plays the murli, that's what it takes. That sound moves the heart of Radharani. So Krishna's Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Vamshi Madhurya, and Murli Madhurya. This is verse 8. And these are, of course, the characteristics of the hero, because it's chapter 1, introducing Krishna, then his friends, and then the gopis, and finally Radharani. Eight chapters to describe the lover and beloved and the supporting characters. It used to be called the actor and the actress, but now it's the actors. Male actor in India, at least, male actor and female actor. They want they don't want to be. We're not an actress. We're actors. Somehow this ego requires all these differentiations and homogenations to make people feel happy according to their position and gender or whatever position, low or high or different creeds. So this is Krishna. And it'll be a while, so this I just want, what I wrote in my notes is, because we're discussing Vibhav, and we'll be discussing it for a while, because first there's the Vibhav hero, then there's the Vibhav hero's friends, his messengers and boyfriends, it says, assistants, like Sridham and Subal and Madhumangal, assisting what? They're go-betweens and they're arrangers. They even come in the kunj and fan Krishna when he's with Radharani, the Priyanarma Sakas. They have intimate access to some degree, like the Manjaris, to a certain, you know, everything has its time. There's certain degrees in the intimacies of a relationship, which you're okay, the Sakis are okay, and now Manjaris are okay, or even maybe a coward boy, and now it's everyone is prevented from coming in except the Manjaris. Those very intimate, most private moments when Radharani doesn't want anyone to see, anyone to hear, anyone to feel, anyone to be there or anywhere near, then the Manjaris walk right in. Because they're Radharani's shadow, they're Radharani's heartbeat. You have a heart, but you need a beat to make it work. If you have a heart and it's not beating, Radhe Radhe, you're out. Over and out. So, Radharani has the heart. She's Krishna Mayi. She's full of Krishna. Krishna Prema Mayi Radha. But then to make it move, yeah, it goes like this, yeah? Contract, expand. So to make Radharani's love contract or expand, that's the Manjaris play the most key role. And Sakis also. But where the Sakis can't expand Radharani's heart or they can't contract it, the Manjaris can. Radharani has given them that delegation, that power over her heart. That's not a small power. We say Radharani Prem, Krishna Prem Vashi Bhut. Vashi. Vashi means to control. Vashi Bhut. So her a person. So Radharani's love, that's her 25th quality. She controls Krishna. But then who controls Radharani? Dalita Manini Bhiti. Lalita Manini Bhiti. Radharani exhibits man because of bhiti or bhayam of Lalita. Yes, ma'am. Whatever you say, I'll do. But then, so she has control. But that's for man and so many things. She's a leading sakhi. But then Radharani is... She hasn't given the control to Lalita, she has it. That's her position, the control, the movement of the Leela. But the Manjaris, they've been awarded the position by Radharani to control her heart, make it move or expand or contract. Because where the Sakis fail, where Lalita, certainly Lalita's, Krishna doesn't even think of trying to appease Lalita to gain entrance to the Kunja. He doesn't even waste time approaching her. Some more mild sakhi that's not prakara. Prakara means fiercely opposing. Pragalbhya. Prakara means left wing, opposite. Well, Radharani is also, it's okay. But she, Lalita's pragalbhya. Pragalbhya means, for Krishna galbhya, means she's really bold and really tough. No one can, Krishna's like, folds his hand and says, yes. When she says, out and don't come back, Krishna doesn't even think there's any chance to ever come back. But he goes to other sakis that are mridubhav and more mild bhav, like Chitra. Chitra is very nice. She's very gentle and soft. Like a Manjari, but still she's in the category of sakhi. Oh, Chitra. And then sometimes Chitra brings Krishna into the clinch. Then Lita sees, this in Ujjalini Lamani later, Lita says, and then Chitra starts speaking to Radharani. Oh, Shyam is very nice. He just loves you. You're misunderstanding. Those marks were not from another sakhi. It was just the wind was so cold and got some blue lips and this got scratched from the thorns running here for the Sanket Kunj. And please, you should understand. Then Lita says, hey, shush up. What are you saying, Chitra? Who are you with anyway? You're Anastasaki, you're with me, or you're Amutashri, you're in my group. What are you speaking? all this nonsense about this Kalu. You know, just you go, you go from here and take your friend. What is this? Just go from here, Chitra. You can't use these words around here. So Krishna said, wow, Chitra is not working, and she's the mildest of the Sakis. What to do? Hey, Rupa Manjari. Hey, Tulsi Manjari. I have some nice Mahaprasad tumble for you. And I have some nice perfume from Radharani that I gave her, and it fell out of her ear, and I picked it up and put it in my ear. You know, we keep the perfume in our ear. You know, the itara, the Thakurji scent, we could say perfume. So Krishna was with Radharani, then it felt, oh, this is Radharani. It's nice. Because anything that contacts Radharani becomes like Radharani, fragrant like Radharani. Whatever its original scent or inherent nature is, it's preserved, but then it's transformed into something transcendental and extraordinary with the mixture of Radharani's transcendental gandha or fragrance. There's one verse in one tika which Srila Nantadas quotes, which is very sweet, and it's often quoted other places. I don't know the origin. But it says, whatever falls into an ocean of sweetness becomes sweet. So in the universe, in the jagat, the arrangement of different universes, there's oceans, seven oceans. There's an ocean of salt water. So if you go bathing and you go Vaishnava, frolicking in Puri and riding the waves and splashing and having Vaishnava fun, you come out, you're covered with salt. You can taste it, you can lick it. Kind of moochy, but so you take a shower and you wash it off. So you go in that ocean, you become covered with salt water. And there's an ocean of milk, Dudh Sagar. And there's an ocean of liquor. That sounds very attractive for some people in the lower modes of nature. Oh, wow, I want to go there. How do you get to that universe? There's an ocean, you probably don't have to buy it. You just go down and drink it up, like a Agastya Muni. Drink the ocean until you drop. So one is, of course, the sugarcane juice ocean. So this, when you fall into that, you know, all the bees land on your arms and start drinking the nectar of your arms. So Radharani is compared to an ocean of sweetness. This is a verse. And anything and anyone who falls into that ocean of sweetness becomes sweet, becomes coated with sweetness. This is the beautiful verse that's often quoted, how anything contacting Radharani becomes so sweet, especially Krishna. Because he, by nature, is not compassionate. He's bhaktivatsala. That means, for a special group, I'm favorable. And he says the same thing. He's, of all the forms of Godhead and Vishnu Tattva, only Krishna is the appellation or the title, Bhagavan Bhaktivatsal, Krishna. So that he is favorable or compassionate, affectionate, like a mother or father, towards whom? All the jivas? All his parts and parcels? No. Those that have surrendered, yaya tam mam prapadyante tam tataiva bhajamyam. And that it's told also in 9th chapter. It says, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesyo stinapara. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. I'm equal to everyone. I give everyone sunshine and everyone food. And I give everyone the fruits of their labor and their karma and their whatever they're supposed to receive. I give it all to them. I provide a whole arrangement, fruits and grains and sugar and cows and everything. Take it all. Everyone can have. Doesn't matter your religion, your creed, your race, your country. Krishna gives to everyone. But then he says, but mud bhakta. If someone becomes my bhakta, then I especially favor him. So by nature, Krishna is not karuna for everyone else. Just he has affection for his devotees. That's hardly anything. How many jivas are his devotees? And there's a lot of jivas. Not counting the human species. 8,400,000 species and lakhs in each species. And Krishna is only favorable to a few lucky Swiss girls or Russian or Estonian girls or American boys or whatever, a handful. And he tells that himself. I only favor a few people, and even some people I don't even favor, but they try to get my favor. You know, I don't. So many people, a few people I favor, but some people are trying to attain me without my favor. And there's thousands of them. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschit yadati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschim amadi tatpata. Krishna says in the Gita 7, maybe 1 or so, 3, whatever. He says, out of thousands of men who look for God, me, perfection, hardly one understands the truth. And of those who understand the truth, hardly one surrenders to me and knows me. So all those Mayavadis and all those yogis and all those gyanis, they're among those thousands. Then there's all those that are trying to be bhaktas. So this is very rare. So how does Krishna get karuna? How does he get the quality of karuna to help us? Because he falls into the ocean of Radharani's love. And Radharani is a prem gana sagar. She's an ocean of sugar cane juice, thick, not watered down for more money. You know, they mix water in the bowl below. They put, before you get sugar cane juice, it's already some bowl there to collect it. It's already half full of water. Like, yeah. Oh, here you go. I stopped drinking that about 30 years ago. It's all so dirty and, you know, yuck. Nice stuff. But buy your own cane and bring it home and just do the bridge body style. Better you keep your belly and where it is and offer pranams. You know. Oh, it's good for your liver. Well, you know, you're more... You'll never have a problem. Also, something that's good for your liver too is gomutra, and just get it when it's not. No one's going to mix it with water. No one's going to use dirty water from the sewers, and you know, there's no flies flying around it. It's pure pavitram. It's so pure, the urine of the cow gomutra, that you can bathe God with that. It's called panchagavya. Well, that's extraordinary. So Krishna falls into the ocean of Radharani's sweetness. And that ocean, what makes it sweet is all Radharani's qualities, her 25 qualities, and one of her qualities is karuna. She's karuna mayi Radharani ki jai. So now Krishna, associating with Radharani, then he collects all... gets covered with his sweetness, which means covered with all of Rani's qualities and covered with all of Rani's love. And then he manifests as all. There's no then because it's eternal. But this is what acharyas say gives Gauranga the karuna that he has. Because Gauranga is Krishna Sarupam. He's Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Jagat Guru Sri Krishna. But he's so much udar, preaching, helping everyone. Giving the holy name everywhere, preaching, praying, take it, praying. And all that mercy and all that karuna comes because of Radharani. So the background of it all, when someone preaches to us or someone gives us the holy name, that is the mercy of Radharani coming through Krishna in the form of Gauranga, in the form of Guru and Parampara and Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. So if you trace it back, you take the Ganga water in Navadvip, but if you go upstream instead of down to Calicut or whatever they call it, Calcutta, go upstream, you go to the source, the Mukh, Gangotri. So this Vaishnava is compassionate to me, this Guru is compassionate to me, Mahaprabhu is compassionate. But where is the source? Let me trace it back. Oh, it's the heart of Radharani. And one purport, it's very interesting. It's not, that purport can have a lot of purports. But in the Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, beginning somewhere, maybe chapter 1 or 3, Srila Prabhupada says, because there's a chapter that talks about the spiritual master and Nityananda and whatnot. And there Prabhupada says that the spiritual master is a representative of either Sri Nityananda Prabhu or Srimati Radharani or both. very striking sentence, for me at least. I mean, according to your subjective viewpoint, everyone sees reality that way. Because everyone, although it appears that no one's wearing glasses, or some people do, but just even then they're clear. Everyone has the same eyes, and everyone's looking at the same world and the same books, but everyone's seeing a different world. An artist sees a different world than a ditch digger. A musician sees a different world than a cook. It's a different subjectivity. So devotees, according to their perception, the depth of their devotion and the mercy they've collected, and how much the scriptures want to reveal themselves, then see the scriptures. So this is Ujjalini Lamani and text 8. And so I wonder, since we were talking about Vibhav, and basically this whole book, Ujjalini Lamani, is all about Madhurya Ras. So first we introduce Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna and his characteristics, his qualities. It's very systematic, and this is called a textbook. This is not really a Leela Grant. This is not for Smaran or Dhyan or meditation on Radha Krishna's pastimes, but it is a fundamental textbook, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to establish some ground to walk on. Because you can't walk in the sky, because we're terrestrials. We're not aerial beings. We're not birds. So we have to walk on the ground. So to enter the ground of Madhurya Leela or Madhurya Dham, we say Madhurya Dham. Dham means abode, place, shelter, land. This is the land of sweet Madhurya Leela. So we have to have some foundation to walk on, some basis of understanding. And it's highly technical, and we have to collect something of it. So this whole 8 chapters out of 15 is all about Vibhav. Then after Vibhav, after 8, lots of classes, lots of verses, and see a lot of kartiks if you come. After 8 chapters, then we start, there's the different sakis, that's all that. Then Udipans. And Udipans, I made a mistake. There's 9 chapters actually about the sakis, and they're all about the Avibhav, Prem Ashraya. And then the Lamban is called. Avibhav has 2 parts: the foundation, the persons, the actors. And then the second part is Udipan, the exciting factors, the objects, the situations. So 9 chapters are about the Vibhav, hero and the heroine. And then it begins, not even the next bhava, but then Udipan, on chapter 10, Udipan is the second part of Vibhav. Because you may have a lover and a beloved, and they're just sitting there, and there's no music, and so their love can generate automatic, spontaneous combustion. Anywhere, love is like that. You don't need any props or settings. But all the settings and props and accoutrements, they enhance and deepen the relish and experience. And for example, when Krishna went to Mathura with Akrura, then very properly the first day he met a very interesting woman named Kubja. And there's many talks who is or what is Kubja, but last life they say that she was Supornika, the be-nosed, beheaded, be-nosed and be-eared sister of Ravana in Ram Leela. And Lakshman performed some surgery on Supornika, which didn't make her look, it wasn't very successful. Sometimes when you go for plastic surgery, you get a good nose job and better nose and better lips or whatever you think is better. But in this case, she was a real Lakshman, didn't really know the art of surgery, so he simply cut off the ears. So that course precipitated war and went on like this. So there, now Shuparnika came back to Mathura in Krishna's Leela because she went to Ram, she surrendered to Ram, Shuparnika, and said, I want to be your beloved, you're a king, and by rule you should accept anyone who surrenders to you, especially a princess. What to speak of a Brahmin? He's a Kshatriya, and she is a Brahmin. Ravana is a Brahmin. So she's higher caste. So he didn't accept her, but then he mentally accepted her sankalpa. He said, all right, I'll accept you when I come as Krishna. You came to be my beloved, my intimate conjugal lover. Not possible because I have ek patni brata. I only have one wife, Sita Devi, and she's locked up by your brother and your Lanka. And so you're coming here. She met Ram in India because she's a mystic yogini. And she didn't need any airplane or book a ticket or anything. She just left. And then rematerialized wherever she wanted to be. Inconceivable mystic powers, these great personalities. And there she was in the middle of Dandakaranya, whatever forest. So when she came back as Kubja, then Krishna fulfilled her desire. He visited her house. And then a whole description there of Kubja, she and her girlfriends, made all arrangements for Krishna to receive Krishna. And it's minutely described in doesn't sound much different than a description of a classy or high quality rich man's brothel, where a rich man will go to visit a prostitute. I mean, it said there was pink wallpaper and there were soft lights and there was incense, and she was chewing pot, and then she drank some liqueur, some intoxicating liquor. She was wearing jewelry, all the kind of arrangements to make all fragrances and sounds and everything to greet Krishna, her lover, and to enhance his happiness and pleasure and make a wonderful offering of herself in the service of Krishna. So that's, of course, this Sadharani Rati, which means it's very common, ordinary type of love based on lust, but it's called a type of prema because the object of her lust is no one of this world, only Bhagavan. Like we may say, I want to love Krishna, but then we have a husband or a wife or whatever. So we have love for Krishna and we want to have more. But we have other needs and wants. So she didn't have anything. And apparently they say, oh, in one purport, Vishnu is telling that Kuja represents Mother Earth. And she's actually an expansion of Satyabhama. And Satyabhama and Bhumi. So Bhumi was bent over because of the weight of the liars, the lying kings. It says that Mother Bhumi, personified, can bear any amount of weight on her back. Back means mitti, the surface of the earth. The analogy is the back of the earth. She can carry the Himalayan mountains, she can carry airports and jets and trucks and carry everything. She can support and carry and sustain any kind of weight except one weight, the weight of a liar. See how heavy lying is? Very, very heavy. It puts the earth out of orbit. It makes the earth an upside down place, or a country where lying prevails, the country becomes upside down. So guess what? You're there. It's called Jut Pradesh. You know, Jhuta Desh. You know, Jhuta? What is Hindi? How do you say lying? Jhuta Bolo. You don't know? It's called lying, no? Rumors and lying. Jhuta. You don't know? Yeah, you're sleeping. Anyway, Jhuta. Desh means country. So a country full of cheating and liars. Radhesha! Go, jump on the, go for the ride and see where you go. What to say? We're here. We're all crazy. But this is the place. So, this is a description of the arrangement to please Krishna. So I think I'll continue with the next verse. Because I've just finished one verse. Oh, we don't have to finish that. We'll start with verse 10 tomorrow. Oh, I want to describe Vibhavs. Then we'll take a couple minutes. So we're talking about Vibhav and hero and heroine at Udipan. So I'm just going to speak it, and something will go in and something will stick. Once I heard a lecture by Srila Narayan Raj, and he described how one devotee is very, very sick, and he left the mat, and he went home to his village in Bengal. And there he was very, very sick. He couldn't drink water. He couldn't do anything. He just couldn't eat. Maybe a little water, otherwise you die. So he's taking a little water and very weak and shrunken. And no doctor could figure out how to cure him. So it seemed like he would die. So somehow they found one Ayurvedic doctor, and they brought the doctor there. And the doctor diagnosed his sickness. Then he said, here's my prescription, such and such homemade compounding powders or whatever. And then he said, this is the anupam. Because, you know, most of you know about all these things. In Ayurvedic medicine, there's a medium. Medium means an anupam, a medium of administration, what you have to mix it with. So some Ayurvedic medicines you mix with ghee, some you take with milk, some you take with honey. You know, maybe you all take in different times. After meals, before meals, it's called a method of administration. They give you the allopathic medicine, take two before meals, one after. So the doctor said, this medicine I'm giving you, mix it with 2 teaspoons of ghee. Take 3 times a day. And the mother and father said, he can't digest a drop of milk. If we give him any food, he throws up. How's he supposed to? This will just go out and pass out and diarrhea. How will it work? And he said, just vishwas, have faith, and do it. So then he's taking the medicine. So what happened was that the devotee, the sick, seriously, gravely sick devotee, taking this ghee, which could kill it ordinarily, but because of it's Ayurvedic medicine, then he was taking the medicine and it was all going out of his system, like diarrhea, because you need a certain amount of power even to digest some medicines. Like there's a type of Ayurvedic medicine, a rejuvenator called Rasayana. And according to the law, although anyone can buy at any age and anyone can take it at any age, but Rasayanas are very bad and very counterproductive and very negative for any human being to take who has not crossed the age of 60. But people just buy anything, they read anything, Rasayana, I'll become new. And actually, it wrecks the body if you take Rasayana, Makardwaj Rasayana, and so many Rasayana medicines. So that's why it's not so good to be your own home doctor. Everyone's nowadays, I went on the net, I know I should take Rasayana. And you'll get sick and old. It's very, very bad because I met a very learned person. I met him 10 years ago and he was 96 and he looked like 70. No, I haven't seen him in a while. Maybe he's, and he's driving a Jeep and everything, going to hardware. And he was 96 when I met him. And he's Ayurvedic Acharya. So he taught, I lived with him sometime for a short time and he taught me some things. Because I asked it when I was, because I came here when I was 36. I was 36 when I moved to India, now that's 30 years ago. So he said, I said, I want to take some Rasayana to get strong. Because I read about these things. He said, forget it. And he told me all the different things, you know. So then I waited. I said, how about now? I'm 60. Okay, now I'll give you something. So you have to have, everything requires, you know, the time and place. So, this person, back to the story, in case don't get lost, he's taking the medicine, so it's all passing out. But a little bit each day, a little bit of ghee was sticking to his intestines, small intestines, because that's where vitamins and power is all absorbed, and small intestines. Then it goes large intestines for compacting. Actually, large intestines also. So something was sticking, and gradually it was starting to get better. Better and better. And then after he got fully cured, and the parents thanked the doctor, we could never imagine. You're about to die, and you can't digest a drop of milk, and you're taking ghee, which is fat. So now, that's the story. Now here's the analogy. Like Harikatha, like I'm going to speak about Vibhava and Anupam, Bob, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, okay, that's great. So much will go, so much comes in our ears of Hari Katha, and so much goes out. You know what they say? You maybe even know that American phrase. In one ear, out the other. Maybe you have your own type of phrase in your language. So we hear, oh, that's nice. Then it goes here, then it's so nice that let it go there. Let it go out the other ear. I don't want to follow it. I don't want to hear it again. So this is the katha, a very nice analogy. I really liked it. It stuck. That analogy stuck in my intestines. That as we read about Krishna's Rasa-lila and we read these very high topics, we have some ruchi for them, we have some taste, and we are following moral principles, and we are following all the proper rules of a Vaishnava, and we're doing our sadhana, and it's our attraction, so we can't repress that. We have to express it and read. I don't care what you say, I'm going to read. This means Raganuga. Oh, you said I shouldn't read it. Okay, I won't read it. Jiva Goswami tells us when we shouldn't read it. And he says, if you're reading about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, there's Purusha Vikara. Vikara means transformation. Purusha means person or human, oftentimes man. So it's translated generally because Shastras are chauvinistically oriented for men, apparently, written by men, for men who generally take up yoga and do meditation. But they're applicable to everyone. But sometimes it appears a little slanted and even derogatory or negative towards women, but have to have a proper perception and explanation to understand the whole picture. But anyway, that's another topic. Purusha, Purushavikar, I started to say Purushavimai, because there's so many things. Purushavikar, so you're reading about the Kunja Leela, or what the speaker Gita Govinda is, a highly exalted, intimate book, and then you become, for any gender, you become sexually agitated, become disturbed, become like, you start to think, I identify that, oh, I'm Radharani, and I'm feeling Krishna's embrace, or I'm Krishna, it's not a good idea. Because this is wrong, this is aparad, and this is offensive, if one becomes disturbed. So he said, this is the measuring stick. If that's not happening, then go, read. And then if it does happen, even if it does happen when one is reading Kunja Leela, very intimate Leelas, then it's not that he drops that and starts reading chapters from the Bhagavad Gita. He may also, side by side, be reading Gita. I'm reading five different Gitas, or six different Gitas of translations and tikkas. And I'm also reading Govinda Lila Amrita and Gita Govinda. So they're all part of the meal. You know, you have rice. I mean, it's not much fun, but sweet rice is a lot of fun. So they all go together to make that. And I know the most advanced devotees that are fully into Raganuga Bhakti and Manjari Srup, even they will touch the Bhagavad Gita and read it or whatnot and quote from it, what to speak of the Sandarbhas. So when we're reading about the intimate Rahasya Leela of Radha and Krishna, we feel some kind of disturbance. We don't drop Madhurya Leela, we don't drop the Nitya Leela, we just back off a little bit. Because actually, if you examine Govinda Leela Amrita or Krishna Bhavanamrita or any of them, there's only small, small, small segments where there's something very intimate. And then you just skip over that. Or just read about that whole chapter. Because you can kind of see it coming. When you're reading the Shastras, you can see that, it's going to get very intimate pretty soon. And then you just pick up, then the Sakis enter the Kunj. I know this very clearly. I mean, I read the whole thing. But recently I narrated Govinda Leela Amrita for the net. So I was, as I said in my blurb, they call it, when you open the SoundCloud, it says, the Radha Krishna's Astakali Leela based on tasteful selections from Govinda Leela Amrita. Because I'm not translating a book. If you're translating a book, you have to translate it as it is. So I'm producing some audio files to, because there's so much beauty there and so much sweetness and so much anukulya for any devotee, what to speak of Raganuga Bhakti, to wholesale reject any of it and not to listen to any of it is a great loss. So knowing that and understanding that, then I So we're reading about vibhav and definition, and now we're discussing alamban, the persons who are the foundations. And then there's a lot of hierarchy here everywhere. Everywhere it's like that. Division within division within division within division. But don't worry, it will all fall into place as we read and hear over again. So vibhav has alamban, then alamban has, there's two types of foundations, because alamban means the people. So when we're talking about a love story, Krishna's Leela, Madhurya Leela is love story, divine love. So then the alamban means the foundation of the love story. So the foundation of the love story means the lover and beloved. One is the object of love, one is the subject of love. So we're directing our love towards the subject, Krishna. And Vishai means subject. So the alamban, vibhav, alamban, prem, Vishai, the recipient of my love, the recipient of my seva, is Krishna. The foundation. I'm a beloved, but I need a lover. If I don't have a lover, then I'm not the beloved. Simple. It's like if I'm a disciple, that means I have a guru. So I have to direct my love to the subject, and that's Krishna. So he's the foundation. He's necessary in this love story. Then what about me? I'm the alamban prem ashraya. I am the object of love. I am the reservoir of love. Krishna derives love from me. So that's the basic. For us, the alamban vishaya is Krishna, the alamban ashraya is Radha. So just that's what it says here. Ashraya means the devotee in whom Rati resides. The Stai Rati of Madhurya Rati. The person in whom Rati originates, devotee, the shelter of love, the ashraya, or the object of love. That's the devotee, gopis and gopas, Mother Yashoda, like this, Manjari, Sakis. Then there's Vishai. Vishai is Krishna himself, to whom the Rati is directed. Rati means love, bhav, and he feels it. He receives it. Everyone loves him, and that's what he says. You're all loving me, and I'm receiving so much inconceivable amounts of love. Napariyeham, Nadushyaham. I can never repay you. He's telling in his greatest devotees, the gopis, it's not possible. So this is Krishna. Everyone directs their love toward him, the subject of love. That's in that notebook. And this one says, Alamban is the support of love, hero and heroine, the subjects and persons, Krishna's devotees, and here it means Radharani, who possess in their hearts spiritual love known as Daiva. I said that already. Okay. So now, there's not much more to say about the Vibhava Lamban, but there's a lot to say about What makes it exciting? What makes that loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna? What nourishes it? What contributes to it? And those are called udipan. The word pan means circumstances or objects, and ut means up. So it means stimulants, excitants, environmental factors, seasons, and dress. So the acharyas have described the udipan means the stimulus. Objects connected with Krishna or Radha, which arouse one's spiritual love for Krishna and cause that love to be transformed into bhakti ras. For example, if the husband sees the wife every day and she wears a house coat and all day, or when she gets dressed, goes to work or whatever, stays home, whatever she does. So he sees her in a house coat and her hair is all here and there, whatever, just woke up. So he's not too much romantically inclined or too much attracted to that presentation. But then they have some date to go to or some party or whatever, marriage. So then the wife is decked out, as they say, and Indian style, I mean, really decked out, really dressed. Every possible thing is in exactly the perfect place. So now when the husband, you know, he says, look, as soon as I come home from work, because it takes you so long to get ready. So you get ready ahead of time. Because it only takes me 5 minutes to bathe and dress and this and that. So you be all ready when I get there, and then we'll go, and 10 minutes we'll go. Otherwise I have to wait 2 hours or whatever to do your thing, you know. So, you know, the timing. So, so then he gets home and she opens the door and he looks, when he left in the morning, she looked like something different. The house coat and the hair going everywhere and no makeup or anything like that. And then he comes home and he opens the door and says, wow, it's like Sudama Brahman. He went to see Krishna. He was a total beggar, complete garib. He only had white rags on his back. And he was skinny and bony, something like the person speaking right now. Something like that, also white rags, actually. About the same, but I'm not a Brahmin, so I'm just a Shudra, you know, friend of Krishna. Not even that, but somehow trying to be a friend. So he went there and Krishna knew what he wanted, so without even asking, Krishna turned his wife into a goddess, a devi, and turned his shack into a palace. His grass shack became a diamond-studded palace. And he was walking up his street, 105 Main Street, 105 Main. Where's my grass house? It's a huge palace, and all these maidservants and butlers and chokidars are coming. Sir, Sudamaji, welcome. Sudamaji, you know, sir, because they're a servant. Sudama, yeah, that's me, Sudama. Who are these guys? And he said, come, your wife is anxious to meet you. So then they lead him and they open the door and said, your wife is there, sitting by the fireplace. You know, it's a big palace. So then he says, okay, I don't know, I don't recognize anything so far. Maybe, I hope I recognize my wife. And then his wife stood up and looked and he, who is this? Where am I? So Krishna transformed everything. So the apparel, the dress, moves the emotions. So these udipans, in other words, udipan is something which stimulates one's love. The husband loves the wife. Stai rati is madhurya rati. But when he sees her beautifully dressed and perfume and all this, then he's excited. That's the idea. There's no excitement. There's no fireworks. There's no fireworks. There's no bliss. So you have to, first you have to light the fuse, right? The fuse is the excitement, and the boom is the fireworks. You know, so this is the excitants, the udipans. They're the fuse to the bomb, a love bomb, Madhurya Ras. So it's very nice. These are the stimulants or objects connected with Krishna which arouse one's spiritual love for Krishna, or Radha's love for Krishna, and cause that love to be transferred in Bhakti Ras. Just like we're devotees and we're Prema Shraya Vibhav, but our love can get excited. Our love for Krishna becomes excited more. Like we're bathing the deities, or maybe our service, because sometimes I would bathe Radhasham. And then Indra would come and dress back in 1988 or 89 during Karti. I would have to scoot out. And he would come in and stand like this. Hurry up, I have to dress. You know? I would turn and I would ignore him because, you know, he's my brother. I said, just come on, I'm enjoying it. I'm relishing it. Because you take all their clothes. No, you have to bathe them. Take off the clothes and put on their, like, afterwards little bathrobe, and then he just takes it up and dresses. Mukunda would dress Radharani, and Aindra Das Ji would dress Krishna. Very, and Radhabhav he would dress. So then when I was doing that, I was seeing, oh, Krishna and Radharani are so beautiful. But then later when I came for Sringar Darshan, wow, you know, really increased my love. The same Krishna I just saw at 5 o'clock, 5 to 5:45. Now I came back to an hour and a half later at 7:15. I was like, wow, Radharani, you look like this, and Krishna look like this. So I'm not the lover of Radharani or the lover of Krishna. I'm the servant, I'm the Das, Krishna Das, Radharani Dasi. But still, even my own minute, minuscule bhakti heightens and expands when I see Krishna in a very beautiful way. It's natural. So the same there with Radha and Krishna. Uripan are factors which excite sentiments for Radha and Krishna, or for Krishna, for Radha, etc. Numerous objects which stimulate affection, such as, these are like catalysts and excitants, Krishna's flute. But Krishna plays the flute, I mean, the gopis are nivibandhananda, becomes undone. That's pretty exciting. Nivi means underwear, and bandha means the knot, you know, it's like a yogi pants, like a string there in the waist string. He's 20 kilometers away. Oh, wow. I hear the flute and the stairati. It's like, we love Krishna, we love Krishna. They're just thinking, we love Krishna, we love Krishna, we love Krishna. That means stairati. Like, what is our stairati? Dasyarati. I'm Krishna's das. Now I'm serving Krishna doing this. Now I'm serving Krishna doing that. Now I'm serving Krishna doing this. And we all have, now I'm doing Nam Seva and Thakurji Seva and Bhog Seva. So many Sevas. But that's our stairati. So the gopis are always thinking, I love Krishna, I love Krishna, I love Krishna, I love Krishna, 24/7. But then they hear the flute and they're, I really love Krishna. I'm now excited. I dream, I sleep, I have Swapna Vilas Amritam with Krishna. And now I hear the flute, so then my love heightens. I'm hearing it and it's so much excited. Now anubhavs come. I get excited and I get anxious. And I get eagerness. So many things come. As soon as the stairati comes, then the anubhavs come, and then they move. So there's physical expressions. Krishna plays a flute. Then there's voluntary expressions of sattvic bhavs and involuntary anubhavas. So the voluntary means that you hear the flute and you, oh, wow! That's Krishna calling me. He's playing Radha. He's playing my name on the flute. So then it's not involuntary, it's voluntary that you just, out of prema ecstasy, Shama's calling me, I have to go. So that's called anubhav. But then while you're running, you're thinking of Krishna, and all of a sudden you're perspiring. You're not thinking, I want to perspire. Automatically you're perspiring or you're trembling. So that's involuntary. So we'll discuss all that later. But these are numerous objects. So one is the Uripans, Leela Stalis, the Vilas Kunjas, the banks of Radhakund, or objects or things which awaken Rati for Krishna due to association or connection with Krishna. The Rasastali ground, Seva Kunj, Yogapit, Padma Mandir, any place of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, those are Uripan. And it works in a negative way. If some sakhi goes there, she goes to the bank of the Yamuna, Radharani. Yamuna used to flow by Barsana. From Nandagram, Barsana, on that side of Govardhan, west side of Govardhan, Yamuna comes in by a village called Yamuna Mata. Today the village is called Yamuna Mata. And there's some sand there where they collect for construction. It's the old bed of the Yamuna. And obviously changed course quite a bit. So Radharani would go to bathe in the Yamuna or to collect water in the Yamuna. And then Krishna, when she went to the Yamuna, she would say, oh, I remember in the beginning of Purva Rag, when I first fell in love with Krishna, at this very place, you know, Krishna, you know, he came in front of me and he said something. So that she's going, so Radharani's just going to collect water for the seva of the Gar Thakurji or whatever. Her name is Surya Didi, must be in their house also, because they're Surya Upasakas. So their family. So then she remembers. So the same thing, it's told in Uddhava Mahashaya when he visited Nanda Baba. And Nanda Baba, after Krishna went to Mathura, Nanda and Yashoda were very upset and they couldn't eat or couldn't dress or couldn't do anything. And he said, listen, and they couldn't leave the house. They're just sitting there in the courtyard. Oh, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. They're lamenting. And Vishwanath says, and their houses were filled with dust and cobwebs and seeds and old pieces of wheat and gehon. And they stopped eating. And they're only kept alive because some jats and some Rajasthanis that were moving around through Braj with their goats and camels and whatever, buffalo, whatever they had. And they would bring some yogurt and some buttermilk to to feed Yashoda and Nanda. Very pathetic, sad situation. It's told in the chapter 46, 47, the 10th canto of Sartadarshini, Tika Vishnath. So at that time, Uddhava gave some advice to comfort or assuage Yashoda and Nanda to be a little pacified. He says, Nandabala, why don't you take a walk? Go for a walk out in the fields or go for a walk by the Yamuna, get some fresh air. Then when he heard that, when he said Yamuna or go out in the Goshta, as soon as he said, Uddhava said, Nandabala, why don't you go to the Goshta? Goshta means pastures where the cows go. And Goshta, you know, Goshta. So he started crying more. Uddhava thought he would soothe Nanda's pain of separation from Krishna and Yashoda. Yashoda was like practically catatonic. Yashoda didn't see Uddhava. She couldn't recognize him. She didn't speak to him. She was constantly crying the whole time. And Nanda Baba pointed with his index finger. He says, look at Rani. Look at Yashoda Rani. She hasn't opened her eyes since Krishna left. Only she's crying. She doesn't even know you're here. Otherwise, she would receive you properly because you're Krishna's uncle, senior. So, you know, from relation with Vasudeva and whatnot. So this is the condition of Yashoda. So when Uddhava told Nanda Baba, go for a walk, he started crying 10 times more. Oh, Yamuna, the Goshta. Because when Uddhava said Yamuna, then Nanda Maharaj thought of the Yamuna bank where he once bathed with Krishna. I mean, he once went there bathing and Krishna and Balaram played a trick. And they, because Baba was sometime magmas, and every magmas he was bathing in Yamuna before the sunrise. So Krishna and Balaram, they woke up in their beds, different beds. They said, hey, Krishna had this idea. He said, hey, Dao, let's go play a trick on Nanda. So we'll sneak down to the ghat, the Yamuna ghat, and we'll steal his clothes and his turban and all this stuff. And then we'll hide it. So they went down, like Nanda Maharaj says, you have to do so many ablutions and so many tarpons and to the sun and this, that. And so, you know, the many rituals he's doing there, bathing Yamuna, Nanda Baba. I mean, they went like cats, you know, they snuck up. They stole, they ran back to Nanda Bhavan. And they stashed all of Nanda's things under their bed. So then Nanda Baba was coming out. And he said, oh, where's all my stuff? My clothes? I can't walk into town like this. And Nagna Nanda Baba. He's not Nanda Baba. He's Nagna. Nagna means nothing, you know. No clothes. No vina kapra. Nanda became Nagna. So then Krishna and Balaram, they just waited some time. Then they came down, you know, with their gumshoes. Oh, Dad, you know, oh, Nanda Baba, we came to bathe now. We usually bathe around sunrise. We don't want to get up so early. You know, we're kids, you know. Kids don't get up so early. And he said, what do you do? You're still here. You've been here for an hour or something. You're still in the water. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm freezing. It's January in magma, so I'm really cold. You know, so Lala. Someone stole my clothes and my turban and my lati, my king, you know, he has a lati, you know, he has a big lati, you know, a stick, big stick. So I said, oh, Dad. And then Dao said, well, what to do? What should we do? Well, you know, somehow go, if you can find my clothes, if you can find who took my clothes, you go find out, and then I'll give you lots of sweets and this and that and this and that, you know. So then they went and they went back under their bed and they took all his clothes and they brought down there. Said, we found the guy. And we found him, you know, he's one of the workers in the Goshala, and you know, he had all these nice silk clothes, he wanted, you know, dress up and stuff. So here it is, like this. So now Nanda Baba, Uddhava tells Nanda to go to Yamuna. So if he thinks Yamuna, oh, well, I took a bath there in Krishna. It's an Udipan to remember Leela, Krishna, Nanda Baba, and his Vatsalya Baba becomes stimulated, excited. And that's what Udipans are all about. Okay? You're there? So now that's Leela style. Now another Udipan is dressed in apparel. apparel means the other ornaments and decoration, other things, dress and apparel. And I mentioned the analogy of the mundane husband and wife with the house coat and then all beautiful for a party. So that's a fact. Same in our world of Madhurya love and also in Krishna's world. Radha Krishna will arouse and stimulate and excite sentiments of each other just by their clothes. Krishna's yellow dhoti excites Radharani's love. Because when she sees Krishna wearing yellow, she says, oh, he loves me so much. He chooses me as his favorite color. He's not choosing yellow as his favorite color. He's choosing me as his favorite color. And what's he doing with that? Ambara. Ambara. Ambara means to cover, to surround. And that's just what I want to do. I want to surround him. I want to cover him. How do I cover him? By lying on top of him. That's it. You can understand. And then how do I cover him? By embracing him. I want to be all around him. I want to be on top of him. And he's wearing this Pitambara. Vishwambara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. He's all pervading. He's wrapped around. He's everywhere in the Vishwa, in the universe. For one who is his bhakta, he sees Gaur everywhere. Gaur Bhakta sees Gaur everywhere. Vishwambara. So he's Pitambara. Pita means yellow. So Radharani, she sees in the distance. Oh. Then Krishna, what's his favorite color? Nilambari. Nila means Radharani's, it means, excuse me, Radharani wears Nilambari. Nila means sham color. Nila means Nilamani. Nila means sapphire. Ujjwala Nilamani. So when Krishna sees, wow, you know, I'm wrapped around Radharani. I'm completely wrapped around Radharani. In so little time in the day, I get to wrap myself around Radharani. But the whole day and night, in my form, she's covered herself with me. Radharani's kapra is bhav. Radharani's dress is mahabhav. Krishna's dress is mahabhav. So Krishna's dress is his praying for Radharani. And Radharani's dress is her ujjvala, shringar rati, love for Krishna. And the color of that shringar rati is nila. And nila means sham, and sham means Krishna. But this is the dress and apparel of Radha and Krishna. And cowherding stick, toy blue lotus, Radha's Veena, Krishna's pet peacock named Tandavik, Radharani's pet female peahen named Sundari, Tandavik and Sundari, and Krishna's deer, D-E-E-R, the Mriga, Harin, his pet deer's name Suranga. In some leelas, they call Krishna Kuranga. Ranga means player. Suranga means a good player. And they say, oh, Krishna, you have a pet deer named Suranga. He plays fair. He's always with his wife. Who's his wife? Rangani. He's faithful and loyal to his wife. He's Suranga. Why don't you be like him? Why don't you take on the qualities of your servants, of your associates, of your pet deer? You're not Suranga. You're Kuranga. Kuranga means you're a dirty player. You're a bad player. You promised to meet me at exactly 11:15, and you show up at sunrise. You are Kuranga. This is the gopis giving some nice sauce to Krishna. And Krishna's parrot, pet parrot, Vichakshana, and Radharani's pet parrot, Manjubhashini. And any other animal or bird are able to arouse affection for Radha and Krishna. The dear associates of Radha and Krishna, they can arouse sentiments for the divine couple when they remember them. Madhumangal, Subal, Ashtasakis, and the Priyasakis, the Lita Vishaka, Ruparati. There's no limit to the number of Udipans which stimulate the feelings of Radha and Krishna's devotion. So these are stimulants for ecstatic love. Objects that excite emotion. Udi means up, get up. Udipana. Qualities of Krishna, the gopis, their names, their ecstatic dancing, the flute music, the milking of the cows, the ornaments. When Krishna's milking the cows. So that's an udipan for remembering Radharani. When Krishna loves Radharani so much that he went to Mathura. Within the first 2 days he was there, he killed a huge elephant named Kuvala Yapida. He was a murdering elephant and he was put there by Kamsa to trample Krishna and kill Krishna and Balaram. So it says in the Tikas, when Krishna was fighting with this beast, this Hati, Asur, Kuvala Yapida, and he was moving around him this way, that way, and taking his tail and throwing him to the right, and then throwing him to the left, just like some little boy throwing his doll around the living room. He holds the doll by the ear, you know, these little doll, pratima, and he throws it around the room. So Krishna was throwing this elephant, huge, giant, super big elephant. He was just holding his tail and throwing him this way, that way, like a little doll, like sweeping the road with him. And sometimes Krishna would run behind one leg and then run, and then the trunk would go like that towards that leg to try to get him. Then Krishna would quickly scurry to behind another leg. And sometimes he would run under his belly and tickle him. So when Krishna ran under the belly of Kuvala Yapida, and he saw this large, you know, belly, and then he started trembling. He started remembering Radharani's stan, her breast. Even when he's fighting his demon, but he's the vastness and the largeness of the whole thing. So this, even when Krishna is in the middle of killing demons, which is seemingly Aishwarya power, Aishwarya Vishnu is actually killing them. But even then he's seeing everything as an udipan to remember Radharani. It's a rather funny note, actually. Vishnu can really expand the limits of imagination and reality of the Krishna's leelas. So the ornaments of Krishna and the gopis, the songs about Krishna and the gopis, the signs on the lotus feet of Krishna and Radha, etc. So these are all items that incite remembrance of the loving relationship. Oh, let's see, a little more here. Items that incite remembrance of the loving relationship are the udipans. The more prem awakens, the more udipan can be observed around. Oh, the more one develops Krishna prem, the more he can see different udipans. Every advancing devotee, advancing in Radha Krishna Bhakti, he certain things excite his relationship with Krishna. Certain things excite his feelings towards Krishna, like observing Kartik and Radhakund, like coming visiting the Holy Dham, like taking darshan of Radharaman. So these are udipans for the sadhaka. There's udipan. We are also lovers of Krishna and lovers of Radharani in a very small and minute way. And we get excited or stimulated in different ways. So it also applies to anyone. So then as we develop more and more bhakti and attachment for Krishna, everything we see starts to remind us of Krishna. We see one thing, we think of some leela, and it's, I can see myself practically that being reading all these things and thinking of all these things for 30 years or so, especially since I've been in India, Vrindavan for 30 years, reading continuous all these things. As I look, you know, we look around, we see all the same world. We're all looking at the same world, but I'm seeing everything. I just can't give so many examples just now, but so many things. I think, well, this reminds me. In other words, it excites your remembrance. It's some object or some article or some cow or some scene or some movement or some exchange between two people. You know, or you're walking behind a Bengali lady. You're walking behind a Bengali lady, and she has really long black hair, really long. Way behind her nitamba, down to her thighs. So maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I'd walk by and say, oh, lady, black hair, long black hair, okay, big deal. But now sometimes, you know, I'm walking and I see it, and I just think, wow, imagine Radharani's hair, and I'm brushing that hair, and I'm braiding it. And, you know, you practically stumble and lose. And I'm just like nowhere in a devotional scale. But I can see that this principle, as the acharyas are saying, that that the more prema awakens in one, I mean, let's forget about prema. Man, that's way far away, and bhava is way far away. But we can even say the more bhakti increases within a devotee. Then, like for example, I have one friend, and they said they were in Kula Valley, or somewhere in Manali, somewhere they were buying some clothing in some Nepalese type clothing shop. And then in another alley, they saw another Western devotee out of the corner of their eye. And when they saw, then they thought of me. Somehow, they're there, and this person reminded them of their guru. And then they called me, they said, and then I just looked, and I said, oh no, it's not you. So they're just in a shop, but because they have guru bhakti, then they saw someone, a person, that became an udipan for the relationship of dasya, rati, or whatever, with guru. You know what I'm saying. Like, say your guru has a particular type of car, and you're just driving on the autobahn, or whatever you call it, and you see that car, or of course, maybe it's a white car, there's millions, and then, it's not Gurudev. It's like this. So this is the prema drishti, because that's what Krishna says in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I have never lost him, he's never lost to me. Chapter 6, verse 30. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam mayi pashyati. So, anyway, now it's hurry now. So tomorrow we'll have Udipan. We'll have Ujjal in the Almani class, hopefully, and then we'll have class in Radharasunadi. Shri Rupa Goswami Pada Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe.